Mr. Doug Ramshaw, it's good to have you on. Your company, Minera Alamos, hit a new all-time high, reached up to 72 cents, I believe was the high of the day, settled and closed in at 70 cents on the TSX Venture ticker. You're also the on the board of Great Bear Resources that had more outstanding drill results out this morning. Gold hit an all-time high, and you're going to have twins on the way, and you've got a huge smile on your face that nobody on the podcast can see. So my first question for you is, tell me about your day.
I've had worse ones. I mean, it's 2020, so I'm wondering what's going to befall me in the afternoon. But as the day's gone so far, it's been a great day. Great Bear, obviously, spectacular new results out of the LP. I think it speaks volumes that you can pull a hole like that and not feel the need to halt the stock, because it's just become routine for Chris and Bob. I'm just very lucky to be involved as a director on that deal. Gold price breaking 2,000 done at spot levels. It's been fantastic, and I'm really glad. Obviously, Minera's news had a positive response in the market, which I expected it would. But it was pleasant to see just how strong it was. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, during all this craziness of my day, my dear wife is dealing with the impending birth of twins in December. So really, I should have probably started with that one. But if she isn't a follower of your podcast, I think I just dodged a massive bullet.
Well, you can blame it on me. I should have let in with that. It's not every day that the market rewards a company for spending money on a third project. This had the exact opposite effect. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of momentum behind the stock, but this just really lit a fire and rocket fuel underneath it. Can you break down the Cerro de Oro gold project in Zacatecas, Mexico? What led up to this acquisition? And I mean, you've had a third project on the books previously, which you got off the books, but now you're adding the third project back on. So kind of walk us through this whole situation here.
Yeah. This was a project that had been, there's a lot of projects that are on our radar. Like, Mexico allows us to do asset level deals where you wouldn't believe how many bankers have pitch me the idea of buying this company or this company. And you look at it and you go, okay, so, you know, it's got 50 million capex to build their mine, but you're talking about a $70 million acquisition cost. Then you got to fund the 50, you know, to give us not much more than asset level deals in Mexico could afford us. Without all that heavy upfront acquisition costs. And the acquisition costs on this project, we scheduled the bulk of the very modest payments to be post Santana up and running. So what a perfect use to use cash flow from an existing mine to effectively pay these modest costs over a number of years for the second one or the third one in the case of this. So, what we liked about this project right from the start was, you know, the history of the team that is Minera, the operating team. They were behind the Castle Gold that developed the El Castillo mine. And El Castillo started with about 400, I think people forget, it was a very successful mine. It was a foundational asset for Argonaut Gold. They started it on a 400,000 ounce resource that graded about 0.4 of a gram and had a 1.5 to 1 strip ratio. And they did that in a far less cooperative gold market. And it was a success. And they grew it to something which was ultimately producing 100,000 ounces plus for Argonaut for many years. This project has all the hallmarks of an El Castillo lookalike, except we think it's got better grade. It's got better starting resources, and it's got a better strip ratio based on our internal modeling. And that's modeling that we will put into a 43-101 resource statement, in the near future. So it was an absolute no-brainer. Who better to build an El Castillo lookalike than the team that happened to build the original El Castillo? And the analogy, or the the comparison, I should say, between those two projects doesn't actually stop there. Noranda Gold in the early 90s, as they were called back then, they discovered El Castillo, which our team built, and they actually were the ones that discovered Sierra de Oro, which our team now looks forward to building. So we would like to pour one out for the team at Noranda Gold, because they've done us a great service in finding stuff that we can build.
We can get into kind of the makings of this project, but I want to ask you is, in this market, like, what fascinated me and surprised me the most is how little dilution had to go into the purchase of this. I mean, you're talking, I think it was 1%, maybe a little bit more, of the shares to get this thing in full out 100% own it without any royalties. And this type of bull market, I didn't think I'd ever see something like that. You know, so how long are these negotiations and these pitches between the two parties been going on?
For a few months. But, you know, sometimes deals can drag for 2 years, and sometimes they can be really quick, and it all depends on the counterparty you're dealing with. You know, we knew them very well. They know our operating prowess. And, you know, the reality is this project lacks the scale for a bigger company, and you can blow your brains out trying to add a few hundred thousand ounces of resource and still not have it be a target for a bigger company. And that's where one of our key strengths is. We don't mind taking a 500,000-600,000 ounce deposit and putting it into production and growing it out of cash flow. And that's our wheelhouse. And there are a few teams that want to do that. So that's a core strength of our team. And I think it will lend itself to building the pipeline still further on assets, which we've seen enough to be able to say we can develop a mine on that, whereas other companies seem to be focused on, you know, resource growth and everything else. Well, we'll do that resource growth out of cash flow. So, you know, yeah, this one came together very rapidly, and the vendor saw, like, I mean, he can get up to, it's just under 1% dilution. Over 4 years, he ends up with about 4 million shares. And where he sees the value there is obviously if we get Sierra de Oro into production, but also with our other assets, you know, those shares are going to be very valuable to him. I mean, touch wood and all that. But, you know, we feel he feels they can be very valuable to him. So, the value for him is definitely in stock price appreciation more than the cash payments, which, would be significant for anyone, like, you know, $3 million or so dollars over 4 years. Obviously, nothing to sniff at, but I think he sees the value of having stock in a company that's going places.
The Cerro de Oro has 8,200 meters of historical drilling, 6,000 meters of trench sampling. You did mention work would be in progress to support the preparation of a 43-101 compliant resource report. What's the discussions along with this workflow on top with the resource estimate for Santana? How do you balance all this out?
The good news is Santana, we're doing our phase three drilling right now, and we want to incorporate that into the maiden resource at Santana. So that will be more towards the end of the year. In the meantime, you know, we can compile this into a historic resource because of the years of which drilling was taken place. But a 43-101 compliant resource statement, albeit historic in nature, and it will allow the street to have a better handle on you know, and the analysts following us, what kind of production profile the project can yield. So we'll be working on that in the short term. We've just as of September 1, are bringing on a new VP corporate development. He's coming over from Centerra Gold, a mining engineer. I think I'll probably be leaning on Mr. Chris Sharp for some assistance internally on compiling the 43-101. We've already had site visits there with qualified persons. We'll rapidly move to do that. I don't want to tiptoe around the resource at Sierra de Oro. I'd rather be able to to talk about it more openly than just saying we think it's better than El Castillo. I think the market will want us to demonstrate that. So it will be a priority for us.
So you think with the data you do have with the project should be enough to put in a resource? You won't need to go do some more drilling or definition drilling or anything like that?
No, I mean, we'll probably want to do a bit of drilling, and there's a lot of met work that's already been done on it. But, you know, given our strength in the met department with Darren at the helm, you know, there's additional met work we want to do, but we know the oxide leaches. We'll be fascinated to see if the sulfide leaches, which is the case at Santana, it wasn't the case at El Castillo. So if there's an analog with El Castillo, I hope it falls flat on the face when it comes to the sulfide. But that will be gravy. We're developing this as if it's an oxide only operation. But we'll want to do some drilling to kind of get some fresh samples at the sulfide zone, just for future planning as to the sulfide zone's amenability to heat leach too.
Does this change the chronological workflow of Minera? Because we haven't even talked about La Fortuna. And the last time you and I talked, I messaged you and I said, crap, I forgot to ask you about La Fortuna. And now here we are talking about another project and it's not La Fortuna. So where are we at here in this workflow?
Well, let's talk about La Fortuna then. Let's do it. it's a great asset, obviously. You know, the PEA was just off its initial five-year life that we based that, the PEA around. There's brownfields and greenfields expansion to that for sure. Because of the grade of it, you know, it's a milling operation and, 3.5-4 gram open pit, 6-to-1 strip. We own the mill. We got to move it down there at some point. We're concluding the permitting process right now. There will be a debate as to, you know, those ounces are prized. I mean, the PEA called for sub 500 US all-in sustaining costs on them. You know, imagine producing those with the kind of margin you'd have on those in a $2,000, you know, gold environment. Right now, because it's more advanced on the permitting front, you know, that's a schedule that's still intact. In reality, over the coming months, we will look at how things sequence with Cerro de Oro. It could well be that we, with Santana up and running, we can kind of concurrently develop mines 2 and 3 somewhat in parallel, or maybe we just push to get the next heap leach operation in up and running at Cerro de Oro, which pushes back Fortuna a little bit, but at the same time means with Cerro de Oro and Santana up and running, there may be less need to take any debt on to build Fortuna. So there's value potentially in pushing that back. I think that over the coming months, now that we have concluded this deal on Cerro de Oro, we will have some internal scheduling conversations to be had as to what gets developed next or potentially what two things get developed concurrently moving forward.
Those margins at La Fortuna would be 300% today if anybody needed help doing some basic arithmetic. That's nothing to balk about, Doug. I mean, that's a damn good project in itself.
It's a fantastic project. You know, it's funny. It's obviously a high grade open pit, but I tell people, I see a lot, and Great Bear is a good example, like super high grade, you know, in comparison, heap leach is super low grade, you know, in relative terms, but it's all about margin. And, what we're focusing on is developing projects that have super low capex and good margin, and most importantly, a margin that would withstand the worst gold prices. We're coming into a period of great gold prices, but we're building a business that we want to make sure it's fine in the worst of times and takes advantage of the best of times.
Doug, I'm happy for you. Well, job well done, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor.
I'm also happy to be a shareholder of Minera Alamo, so keep up the good work.
We will try to.
All right. That's Doug Ramshaw. He is the president of Minera Alamos, which trades on the TSX Venture with the symbol MAI, and also on the OTC markets in the U.S. with MAIFF. Have a great night, everybody. We will be back again tomorrow morning with the news briefing. Take care. Be well.